who came to this earth to show that he was unique. He never sinned. There were accusers, but of course there was no evidence against him because he was God manifested in human flesh, and God cannot sin. We thank you that he is the great substitute for all sinners. He took upon himself the sin of the whole world. And we thank you, our Father, that included us, and that we have this wonderful opportunity not only to know him as our Savior, but we have the opportunity to know him personally through his word and fellowship through the Spirit of God. So we ask your help this morning as we'll be reading different passages this morning. Pray that you will enlighten us and help us and encourage us this morning. And we thank you again for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and for your presence with us. In his name we pray. Amen. It was a few weeks ago. I came home in the evening. It was dark. And couldn't pull my car into the garage because, like a lot of people, their garages are full of things. And I'm not that unusual. I have a lot of things in the garage, and at times I can't get my car in. But thankfully there's a light. When you open the garage door, there's a light that lights up the garage, and there's another light which will turn on the lights. But I forgot about that. I started moving things around, and suddenly the light went out, and I couldn't see. But I could see over near the door, there's a little light pad. You can walk over there and open the door again and turn the light back on and find the switch to turn the lights on in the garage. But of course, as I was walking swiftly towards the light, I stumbled over a bunch of boxes and things and fell and had things flying all over the place. And so it was a very, very terrible experience. I mean, I could have gotten hurt and I didn't. But I was attracted to that light, and it made me think about the necessity of light and how God has made and created and planned all things. And after his creation, he said it is good. And yes, God's creation is good. It was just the other day, I think it was in the province, there was an article, I didn't really read it, but I saw the little headline about this man in England called Dawkins, and he is an evolutionist, and the statement was, God did not create the earth or the universe. God is not the creator. He believes in what is called, I suppose, the Big Bang Theory, and anyway, that's what he believes. But I was thinking about light, since I was walking towards the light, and stumbled and fell, that light became a personal study to me. And so I'm concerned with light. I'm interested in light, and I know we all need light. So this morning I'd like to speak about light, and which is not light, but is definitely light. And how do you like that? Sounds like a mix-up, doesn't it? Speak about light, which is not light, but is definitely light. And what I mean by that is, speak about light that is natural light. I want to speak about natural light for a moment. I've done a little bit of research on it. And it's not light because it's not a light subject. That's the idea. And I also want to talk about God's spiritual light. And that is the light that is eternal. God's spiritual light is eternal. And so that's what we need to think about. Eternal matters because you know that life is short. Like the hymn says, life at best is very brief. Like the falling of a leaf, like the binding of a sheaf, be in time. While God's Spirit bids you come, sinner, do not longer roam, lest you seal your woeful doom, be in time. Now, that is a gospel song, but as believers, those gospel songs are important to us. And light, the light of Scripture, is very important to us. So, I'd like to go to first the first mention of light in the Bible, in the Holy Word of God. So please turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 1. And by the way, light and its various forms has various meanings light does. To light on something is to land on something. It also means not too heavy. It means also subject matter could be light. And it's meant to illuminate so you can see. Now you can see physically and also so that you can see spiritually. And light is mentioned in the Old Testament 185 times in various ways and meanings. And in the New Testament, the word light appears 88 times. So light is an important word, a very useful word, and the Lord uses it in various ways. But in Genesis chapter 1, we'll read verses 1 through 5, and I'm reading the King James Version. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw the light that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness, and God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. Verse 14 through 19. And God said, "Let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth." And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, the sun, and the lesser light, the moon, to rule the night. He made the stars also. And God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth, and to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good, and the evening and the morning were the fourth day. Well, it's very interesting. We take all these things for granted, naturally. We don't, someday as babies grow into little toddlers and then little children, and think about all the wonders of light and then the things of darkness and the things of God's creation. We don't think much about that normally. But as we mature a little bit, we wonder about things, and some people wonder to the degree they become scientists, and then they reconfirm their non-belief in God. And others, however, discover the intricacy of all the things there are in our universe and realize there is a creator. So God has given light. And I've looked up some information, scientific information. And one I'd like to mention firstly is Einstein's formula. I don't know if you know that formula, of E equals MC squared. And know that formula? I saw at least somebody nod there. And I didn't really know this until recently. I didn't know that equation. But E means energy, M being the mass, and C squared being the speed of light. And to some that are in the scientific community, that means a lot. And frankly, it doesn't mean anything to me, because my mind can't grasp that. However, that is a formula, and it's based on the speed of light. So it's interesting that someone like Einstein could come up with such an equation like that, because people are understanding that God's creation, even though they may not know the Creator, understand that it is very, very unique and precise. And so I'd like to just read a few things that I've found out and I didn't know before, because it may not be of any value to you, but you can see how great God is in His work of creation. Number one, the diameter of the sun from where we get our light is 1,390,000 kilometers. That's the diameter of the sun. Massive. The mass is 1.989E30. So that's 30 times over and over. I can't conceive of that. And the temperature is 5,800 K. And then 15,600,000 K in the core. I mean, massive is the sun. And have you ever thought that the sun really maintains its position and its heat always? It doesn't have a feeder from any place. It just burns that way. God has used His superintelligence and His laws and put them together and made the sun. And it doesn't vary. There are some negative thoughts about that, because apparently, according to scientists, in some X number of million or billion years, the sun is going to burn out. The sun is at present about 70% hydrogen and 28% helium by mass. and other things are metals, and they amount to less than 2%. So these are some interesting facts. Other thing, according to scientists at least, they're interesting facts. Conditions at the sun's core, approximately the inner 25% of its radius, are extreme. The temperature is 15.6 million Kelvin, and Kelvin is another scientific measurement, and the pressure is 250 billion atmospheres. I don't know what that means. I don't. Another added thing about the sun's power, it's about 386 billion billion megawatts. Can you imagine? It's produced by nuclear fission reactions. Each second, about 700 million tons of hydrogen are converted to about 695 million tons of helium, and so forth. The sun is massive, and it just didn't happen. God set that sun where he did. His purposes have not changed, and the sun is to give us light. So there are negative sides to the sun, of course, and we'll read a little bit about that. But this, another thing is the speed of light. And the speed of light in a vacuum is presently defined to be exactly 186,282 miles per second. That's fast. The speed of light. And that's why we can get on the telephone and talk as fast as we can to someone in other parts of the world. And locally as well. Now that's God's light that he has created, and he has other light, of course. We know that we have the moon and the stars, and they all have their purposes, as we've read in Genesis, great purposes. But another thing we've seen here, and we've seen in our province this year, we have apparently right now about 400 fires burning in the forests of British Columbia, 400. And there are times when we've had as many as 1,500 fires burning in the forests of British Columbia. And they are caused about 4%, they say, by human reasons or causes, and the other times it's by lightning. And lightning is an atmospheric discharge of electricity accompanied by thunder, which typically occurs during thunderstorms and sometimes during volcanic eruptions or dust storms. It says that in the atmospheric electrical discharge, a leader of a bolt of lightning can travel at speeds of 130,000 miles per hour and can reach temperatures approaching 30,000 degrees centigrade, hot enough to fuse silica sand into glass. And so something about, and there are so many lightning storms a year that it runs into the hundreds of thousands. So there are some negative things there to light, like lightning. Very negative. If it hits you, you're very likely not going to survive. There are certain things you shouldn't do and certain places you shouldn't be in lightning and thunderstorms, but that doesn't affect us too much here where we live in British Columbia. But there are also some other benefits of sunlight to humans, and you've probably not considered them. But there is says here that some fantastic benefits of sunlight, vitamin D, you all know that. And the sunlight promotes the production of vitamin D in the body. 10 to 15 minutes in the sun can produce anywhere from 1,000 international units to 3,000 of vitamin D. Vitamin D promotes protection from certain cancers along with osteoporosis and diabetes. It also helps to keep blood cholesterol levels low. Serotonin, this is a neurotransmitter in the brain that regulates mood. It's a depression fighter. Sunlight releases endorphins in the body, which are antidepressants and very helpful against seasonal depression. Sunlight increases blood circulation. Sunshine dilates the blood vessels in the skin, which allows for more absorption of nutrients and oxygen. Sunlight strengthens immune systems. Sunlight causes the body to produce more white blood cells. It detoxes, promotes liver functioning, which consequently increases waste elimination. Improves sleep. Sun exposure increases melatonin, which is a hormone needed for good sleep. And the stomach benefits, it increases digestion as well as metabolism. Now, these are all natural benefits of light. And it's like myself wandering around in the dark in the garage and falling over. It's not the first time any of us have ever stumbled in the dark. But God has produced light. He is the giver of light. And the light is to illuminate our beings, illuminate our pathway, as it says in the Psalms, and is to illuminate our eternity. And that's what I want to encourage you to think about today. Because there is divine light, and that means the Lord Jesus Christ. The Trinity, of course, is involved in the divine light, the Word of God. And he wants to encourage people to come to the light and his believers to follow the light, which is his word. So the light I wish to elaborate on today is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the creator of all things that were ever made. And some would say he is the co-creator. In other words, the Trinity was involved in the creation, and that's true. But John chapter 1 tells us that he made all things that were made, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he spoke that word about light 30 times in the New Testament. Of course, he didn't speak by voice in the Old Testament. And at times he spoke about himself, and at times he spoke about born-again believers. So why is he saying these things? He's saying the things he does to encourage. Now, first of all, he wants to encourage people that read his word to come to the conviction of personal sin. And we've all sinned. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I think we all know that. I knew I was a sinner before I even knew what sin was. I knew I had done wrong as a small boy. Very small boy. I did something wrong. And when I say something, I should have said many things wrong. In one way or another. I didn't have to be taught how to lie. I didn't have to be taught how to take something that wasn't mine. Someone said, listen, if you take a couple of two-year-olds and they don't know anything about sin, and you set them apart about 5 feet each back from the center, in the center will be a toy. And then you just let the two kids go, and there's one toy. Now, what do you think is going to happen? They're both going to go for the toy. And someone's going to battle it out to get it. And because, why is that? Because we have a sin nature. All of us do have a sin nature. And our sin nature is in opposition to God. God didn't give us a sin nature. God didn't give me a sin nature. I inherited that through the genes of my parents. And I have sinned not only because of the genes, but because of practice. That's how we sin, by practice. And we get pretty good at it. But in the meantime, there is light. God has shed abroad light into our hearts and our lives. The PNE is on, and last Sunday evening, afternoon and evening, we spent there at the gospel tent, and I've mentioned that before. There is a gospel tent at the PNE, and if you go there, please go by the gospel tent. It's at the main entrance, and you just keep going, and you'll see the gospel tent on your right. There is a replica of Noah's Ark there, and it's about, I'm guessing, maybe 5 feet high. And it just shows the front view. But you look inside and you see the different levels in there of where the animals are and how that was laid out. Very interesting. And then they also have another smaller replica where you can see replica size, the length and the width, and so forth. Very interesting. But there are gospel texts, such as John 3:16, in many, many, many languages. You name it, it's probably there. And so it is a good opportunity for us to, what? Share the light. We have very good conversations there. Some people, and there's also water offered in little containers. You can have a drink of water. And it says their water is life. And so there is a place of light. Now, does everyone go past that place and then enter in? No, they don't. There are a few people, hundreds throughout the day. But very few people are actually searching. And we get into some pretty good conversations with those that are. And the idea is we're sharing the light in the few ways that we are able to share light. And we have some very good conversations, and we find some people are very honest. Some of you may remember the DVD that we showed here a few years ago called The Good Test. And it's a university setting. And if anybody wants a copy, let me know. I'll make sure you get one. It's a 17-minute video, and it begins by saying that people consider themselves to be pretty good. Most people do, until you start asking them about the good commandments, and then you find things have changed. For example, one of the questions, the first question is, do you consider yourself a good person? And people say, well, yeah, I think I'm a good person. And you say, well, have you ever stolen anything? They say, well, some would say, yes, I have. And others would say, no, I haven't. Have you ever lied? Yes. Maybe that covers the first question. But you find out that all have stolen something in their lives. All have lied sometime in their life, and maybe frequently. And that means breaking the Ten Commandments. And some people are convicted by that, and they want to know how they get forgiven of these sins of breaking God's commandments. So that's where the light comes in. And that's when we share about the Lord Jesus Christ, that he's a substitute for their sins. So, and I'd like you to turn, if you would, please, to John chapter 8. And John chapter 8, verse 12. Then spoke Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Follow me, said Jesus, and you will have the light of life. And he said that after he dealt with the scribes and the Pharisees, these religious people, religious leaders, and they caught this woman in the act of adultery. So what did they want? They wanted the Lord Jesus to condemn her, and of course they were trying to trick him and everyone else. That was their purpose. But then what did he say to them? Well, he told them that he was the light of the world, and he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. What kind of life are we talking about here? We're talking about eternal life. A life with God in the future, because someday, again, we're going to die. We are going to die. We're not going to be here forever. And we're not supposed to walk around having our head buried in the sand and feeling sad. Because God has a purpose for us. He wants us to have fellowship with him and joy in our lives. Now, if you're not a Christian, you may not even know what joy is. And if you are a Christian, you know what joy is, and you may not always have it. But joy starts off by having your sins forgiven, and then fellowship with the Lord and other believers. That's what joy is. Joy is not happiness and feeling happy. You can feel happy and not be a Christian. You cannot be a non-Christian and feel joy. It's impossible, because joy has to do with fellowship with God. Now, that is spiritual, biblical joy that I'm speaking about here. And God is always wanting to encourage people. He wants to encourage people that aren't saved to come to Christ and accept him as Savior. That's what God wants. And he uses that in various ways. And one of the ways is he uses light. And he uses lights. And we're going to read more about that in John chapter 9. In fact, I should mention that he was also speaking to the Pharisees and the scribes, because he wanted them to repent and come to him. But now turn to John chapter 9, please. And we might as well read from verse 1. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither has this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night comes when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Jesus is the light of the world. And so what he used as an example for all to see was he was dealing with a blind man. This blind man couldn't see. It's just like me. I was blind in the garage when I walked the wrong way and fell over the boxes. I was blind. It was temporary. But this man was born blind. But the Lord Jesus gives him his sight. And he wants to give spiritual sight to everyone. Everyone. Everywhere. That's his desire. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. And he died not only for our sins, but he died for the sins of the whole world. But if we don't come to the light, if we don't come to him, then we can't have that light, that salvation, that forgiveness, that fellowship that he offers. People are offering things all the day. We get offers in the mail. We get a nice colorful envelope and you open it up and you get 25% off this thing and 10% off your window replacements, and you can get your house painted at a discount, and it just continues. There are offers. We got one from McDonald's the other day, and getting all kinds of offers. And frankly, we do accept some of them. Most of them end up in the garbage. Unfortunately, God gives his offer as well. He gives an offer, and unfortunately, a lot of those offers end up in the garbage. We have given out tracts to people, and there is the offer right there, forgiveness of sin, fellowship with God, a place in heaven to go to when we die, and people treat it as if it were a McDonald's offering, toss it in the garbage. Some will read them and throw them away. You share the gospel with some people, you feel very encouraged because you've shed some light abroad in their hearts, and you feel happy about it, and you praise God, and you thank God, and you pray for them, and they walk away, and they turn their back. They're caught up into something else, into darkness, caught in darkness, and won't let the light of the gospel shine into their hearts. But Jesus said, as long as I'm in the world, and he was present and speaking amongst people, he said, I am the light of the world. People were in grave darkness. I'd like to ask you, and you think about our country here, you think about the United States, our great neighbors to the south, they're in darkness. Heavy darkness. Maybe it's worse here. Because we were traveling there recently and were able to have some conversations with people, and there is more, for lack of a better word, more religion in the United States. I think there's a more reverence for God. I'm not saying they believe any stronger or better, but it's more open in the United States than it is here. But the United States is falling. I'm sure you know that. The United States is falling. Morally, in the inside. Sure, there are moral people and good people there, but they're falling. It's a fallen country. And we are too. Our laws and the keeping of them, as far as things go here, are very weak. But God's laws are not weak. He means it. What he says, he means. And he means what he says. And he says, if you don't come to me, you will also likewise perish. And it's not a threat. It's an offer to come out of the darkness. If you're walking in that garage like I did, and suddenly the light came on, you'd be very happy because you could see where you're going. And so the word of God is to illuminate our pathway, but at the same time as believers, to realize we are important to God in a very special way. You may not think you're important as a believer. You definitely are. You definitely are very, very important. And God wants to use you. And how would he use you? Well, for number one, you probably won't be standing up in the SkyTrain stand there preaching. I doubt that'll happen. But if you are a light, that means that your character will be seen and noticed. Your character, your behavior will be noticed. You don't have to be preaching on the streets or grabbing people and doing things that bother them in order to share the gospel. No, that's offensive, and we have to watch that. But your character is seen by people. Your attitude as believers is seen. And sometimes we fail, don't we? We do fail. But we're not on the road to failure. We're on the road of success towards the Lord Jesus. And we are encouraged by him to be the light that we're supposed to be, because he is not on this planet walking at this present time. But when he went to heaven, he sent the Holy Spirit to convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. The Holy Spirit does that. And if you ever have a sense of guilt, it's very likely God-given. But if it's for past sin that you have been forgiven for, well, then you better discard that. Don't keep pestering God, asking Him to forgive you when He has forgiven you. When you're forgiven, you're forgiven. If you offend your parents in some way and you apologize to them, they will forgive you. And you don't go the next day and apologize again and again and again and again. When it's done, it's done. And when you accept Christ as your Savior, you are forgiven. And you have been now changed from a sinner to a saint, according to the Word of God. You become a believer in Christ. You become a member of the great family of God. And so you are lights. And your character, it doesn't mean you can't laugh and have fun because you don't consider yourself what we call a holy Joe. You are a holy person set apart by God to be light in this world and in your family or wherever you are. So be encouraged by that. In John 12, please turn to John 12. Verse 32, Jesus said, "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." This he said, signifying what death he should die. The people answered him, "We have heard out of the law that Christ abideth forever. How sayest thou, the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man?" Then Jesus said unto them, Yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While you have light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light. These things spoke Jesus, and did hide himself from them. Well, when he said he'd be lifted up, he wasn't thinking of being in a parade and people carrying him on their shoulders. He was speaking of his death on the cross. And he would be lifted up on a cross. He'd be lifted up to be punished. He would be lifted up condemned. He would be lifted up to suffer, taking our sin upon him as our substitute. Now, when I went to school, even here in Richmond, Lord Bing Elementary, Canby High, and Richmond High, the only school I wasn't strapped in was Canby. Got the strap for some things very small, sometimes in error, believe it or not. Getting the wrong person, guess what? I got the strap. 5 on each hand, and they were severe hits, believe my hands were puffed up, and I was only like maybe 11 years old, and I didn't want to cry, and I didn't, but boy, I had to suck back those tears because, man, did that hurt. But I was wrongly accused, and after I tried to explain to the teacher at the time that I hadn't done it, and he said, "Wait a minute," and after giving me the strap, he asked me what I had to say. I'm a little late, but I got the strap. I would love to have had a substitute come in there and take my strapping for me. And unfortunately, I took the strapping for someone else. I didn't get any thank yous. The person that I stood in for didn't thank me. Just felt lucky. Just felt good for me. Like Barabbas. Barabbas. But should have been the one hung on the cross. But the people wanted him free, and they put Jesus in as the substitute. Barabbas walked away. As far as we know, he didn't say anything in Scripture that showed that he accepted Christ as his Savior, even though he was the substitute for him. But Jesus is that substitute. And when we recognize that personally and know him, we feel a great sense of gratitude. And grateful. And we want others to come into that experience of knowing him. And that's where, again, the light comes in. And that's what he says here. He says, "Yet A little while is the light with you. He wasn't going to be there for long. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walks in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. Is that ever true? When you walk in darkness, you don't know where you're going? Well, recently there's, you know, it's happening all over the world where people are dying, being shot. It happens in Richmond, it happens in Delta, it happens in Surrey and Burnaby and Vancouver, where someone is shot and killed. Don't tell me that person never had an opportunity to come to the light, because I believe they have. And when you reject that light, when you reject that offer, when you reject that opportunity, you're going to continue in darkness, and your end will be uncertain. But where do we come in? See, that's the point. Because we are the light that are saved, that are born again. We are the light that God has on this earth. We're not hot like the sun or bright like the moon or nor the stars. We don't twinkle. We don't give off heat. We give off something much more important. Our character should be seen, should be evident, not perfect, but therefore showing forth that we really belong to Jesus Christ. Not perfect, but better. And showing character that is important to God. And it says, while you have light, believe in the light, that you may be the children of light. And there may be people here this morning that don't know Christ. And he's speaking this way, while you have light, and that's what we're sharing this morning, light, believe in that light. What is that light? Jesus Christ. That you may be the children of light. And that's, it's an invitation again. It's open invitation to whosoever will, may come. And it's a wonderful thing. You shouldn't feel this great, oh no, if I become a Christian, then what now? Then what will I do? What a negative life. And well, do you know that Christians have parties and they don't drink and get drunk and fight and they still have fun? People that drink, they think they have to get wobbly and they have to shout and yell and do all kinds of things. And they call that fun? You have fun when you spend all your money one night, you have a headache in the morning, you get sick? Call that fun? Well, Christians have fun because we have the Spirit of God. So, in verse 46, it says, I come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. Yeah, you don't remain in darkness when the light is there. That's Jesus' purpose. I'm come into the light. Come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide it. You will not remain or live in darkness if you come to Christ. Now maybe if you're not a Christian this time, you're weighing it out. You're saying, well, if I become a Christian, there's a negative side here, and yeah, there's a positive side. Well, the negative side is that you will die in your sins. There are no rescue missions in hell. It's done. The rescue missions are right here on earth. We talk to people, as we all do, because of locations at times. You meet people that are on drugs, and you try your very best to illuminate their life, but they've been caught. They've been hooked. And they're going to be beached if they don't get out of it, out of these sins that they're in. But then that's only a small percentage of the people. All have sinned in Richmond and come short of the glory of God. And the light of the world is here, and that's you. John 3, by the way, if you turn there. Because, you see, the Lord Jesus isn't condemning anybody. If there are unbelievers at this moment in this room, he's not condemning you. He's not looking on you with disfavor. He's looking at you with great favor and interest in your life and your soul and your eternity, because he loves you. And he says in verse 17 of John 3, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. So that's why he came. That's why his presence is still felt here today. In verse 18, he that believes on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. So if you haven't received Christ, you've condemned yourself. You don't have to remain that way. In verse 19, and this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Ask yourself, do you love darkness? Do you like the dark things? Do you like being separated from God? Would you like to continue being separated from God? Die that way? Think about it. For everyone that doeth evil hates the light, neither comes to light, lest their deeds should be reproved. You notice that most crimes are committed at night, in the darkness. Drive-by shootings, robberies, break-in enterings. A lot of this stuff happens at night. But we're not children of the night. But it says in verse 21, but he that doeth truth comes to light, that his deeds may be made manifest, and then that they're brought in God. Now, if the light shines on you, you'll certainly see what you look like. But that light is so you can see what you look like before God and then come to Christ. Now, here's something interesting. The first mention of light spoken by the Lord Jesus was to the believers in Him. And this is the bottom line, is that we as believers are called to be and to do. He starts off with a natural preservative, salt. He says that we are the salt, as believers, salt of the earth. So one more section we're going to read here is, turn to Matthew chapter 5, please. So we're called, as believers, salt. And then we're called to do something, and that is to be light. So in verse 13 of Matthew 5, you are the salt of the earth, as believers. But if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? How can you re-salt salt? It is therefore good for nothing but to be cast out and be trodden under the foot of men. If we're salt, we got to make sure that we stay salty. Don't walk in darkness. As believers, don't walk in darkness. Stay in the light. Where do you find the light anyway? Well, you find light right here. And you'll find light right here. This Bible. That's light. It doesn't shine in your face. It shines into your heart. It says, to encourage further, verse 14, you are the light of the world. Do you consider yourself the light of the world? Well, if you're a believer, you are. Why? Because that's what the Lord Jesus said. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. You know that? Ever been out in the boonies, you know, where it is totally dark? We lived for a while in the East Kootenays, 25 miles east of Cranbrook, and at night was it ever dark. I mean, really dark. And then on a clear night, you could see the stars. Just incredible to see them. But if you just went a few miles west, you'd see this big kind of a hue over an area a little closer, and you'd see the lights of that small city. Lights of the city. You could see it for miles and miles away. And that's what the Lord Jesus said. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Why? Because of the light. Because of its position. And you are the light of the world. If you're a believer here this morning, you are the light of the world. And don't feel bad about that. Be encouraged, because it makes you special. And it's like you have batteries and you come here to get recharged. And you read your Bible to get recharged. And read on a regular basis. Don't just say, I'll quickly read through here to get something. Well, you got to read it and really put your heart into it, what you're reading, to get the gist of it. It says, you're the light of the world. It says in verse 15, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it gives light unto all that are in the house. Well, that's right. You don't light a candle in the darkness and then cover it up so you can't see. So if you're light, you don't cover up your light. You let it shine. And like you might be on the bus or the sky train or in a car, and you're just not going to be Mr. Miserable. You're not going to be Mr. Rude. You're going to be Mr. Polite or Mrs. Polite. And you're going to have a kind face. Try not to have a face like you're about to, like a lion about to eat a rabbit. You have to try to show a sense of kindness. And I'm not saying you have to walk around smiling like a Cheshire cat. No. But again, character, good character, godly character, Christian character should show forth. And we're encouraged to be like that. It says in verse 16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. That's what good Christian works do. Your kindness, your help, the way that you are. And the Apostle Paul tells of his encounter with the Savior, and he shares it. He says in verse, you don't have to turn to it, Acts 26:18, was to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light. That's what Paul is giving his testimony there. And from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. That's what Paul said. He's giving his testimony again. He wanted to open their eyes, the unbelievers, so they may turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God. Now, who do you think has the victory over souls in Richmond today, Vancouver, all this area? Who do you think has the current victory over the souls? Or you may say God does. Well, actually, Satan does. He has the victory over the souls of the majority of people in Richmond. Why? Because they walk in darkness. It's true, they walk in darkness. And that's why. But as lights, we will have an effect. Even if we don't have an opportunity to speak, just your righteous character, your good attitude, your kindness, respect, will be a light to others. And that's very important. And then maybe someday someone will ask you, like I like to ask servers at places, if they're not crowded, and if we have someone who's a cashier and very pleasant and nice, and I'll say, excuse me, are you Christian? And sometimes they'll say, yes, I am. And how did you know? Well, yeah, just by the way you are. And others will say no. They just happen to have good personalities. But then it's an opportunity to share, if not too many people around. I'll just share a few little stories with you. We were briefly in Montreal for a wedding. That's my wife and our son. Went to a wedding. Our son was best man at a wedding, and we went all the way to Montreal. And I haven't been to Montreal since I was, at a convention there many, many years ago. And I kind of like Montreal. But anyway, we were guests at a home, in a private home. And these other people came to the wedding from California. There were 8 people. And they came in a van. They rented a van at the airport. And they came to the home. And then food was being prepared. And so I said, excuse me, can I have your attention for about 17 minutes? And they said, yeah, sure. So I plugged into the TV The Good Test. And they really, some of you might remember The Good Test. And like I said, if you want a copy, I'll be coming here again before the end of the year, and I'll bring you a copy if you want one. And it's this setting is university, college, and the interviewer is asking questions of young people, like I said, about the Ten Commandments. And I showed that to these people. Now, did they accept the Lord? Well, they certainly didn't with me. No. But I gave a few copies out as well to take home. One girl said, well, I'm a Christian. I don't need that. Oh, I said, that's good. I know you don't. But do your friends? And she said, oh, yeah. Okay, I'll take a copy. But that's light. That little time with 8 people that I didn't know, was just a little opportunity. I didn't have to say anything. All I had to do was say, would you like to watch this? Would you please watch this for 17 minutes? And they said yes. They didn't know what to expect. But they did see a good presentation at the end of the gospel. And that was light. Then we rented a car, took opportunity of being that far back east, and we drove right down through the New England states, right down to New York City, entered in through the Bronx or whatever, drove into New York City. Very crowded, traffic is so slow, and I found a parking lot. I thought it was $8.75 for the day. Actually, it was $8.75 for half an hour, and so it was quite expensive to get the car out. But we had to take a taxi to Times Square and look around. So we got a taxi, and we got into the taxi. The fellow was from Punjab. He's an East Indian fellow, Punjabi. And anyway, he was going to make a U-turn in the middle of the block, and a car came along and almost hit him. And the driver of the other car was very angry. He was shaking his fingers. His mouth was going, man, this looked ugly. And this Punjabi guy says, that driver needs to be born again. I said, yeah, he needs a new life. He said, no, he needs to be born again. I was shocked. He didn't know me from Adam. And this East Indian guy, he was formerly a Sikh. I said, are you born again, saved? He said, I certainly am. And he began to give me a big message that being a Christian, being born again, is not a religious experience. It is an experience with God himself through Jesus Christ. He's giving and he starts reciting a bunch of Bible verses. It was thrilling. What was he doing? Taking opportunity to share his light. When we entered, he didn't know if we were Christians, but he wanted to share the light. And it was wonderful to see this man share the light like that. And then we were in Niagara Falls on the way back. Noticed a man leaning against the wall, looking over at the falls. And he wore a certain hat and a certain shirt and pants. He was identifiable to me as a Hutterite. So I went to him, and he had a kind of a beard, not full beard, but part beard. And I said to him, hi, how are you doing? Fine. I said, are you a Christian? He says, yes, I am. And, well, how did you get saved? He said, well, I was baptized. Well, why did you get baptized? Well, it's in the Bible. Well, are you born again? Well, he didn't really know what that meant. And the next thing, over there, four more of them came to get involved in the conversation, one being his father. And so we had a very good conversation. And we find out they're very religious, and they don't know anything about the Bible. And I had some gospel tracts and gave them to him because I was there in a very small way giving out the light. Just an opportunity to give out the light. And so I'd like to encourage you to think about that as believers, that what you are called, it doesn't matter what other people call you, if you're a born-again believer, God says, Jesus says, you are the light of the world. So be encouraged. Be pleased that God identifies with you that way, that he can use you even in a very small way, but he wants to, through your character, through your life, and through the sharing of God's word. But the last verse, I know I've read a lot of verses. I'd appreciate if you would turn to Psalm 119, verse 105. Because this is a help for us. This verse here, this psalm, is very important. And it is Psalm 119. And verse 105, and that is why you need a Bible. Your Bible should not be the place where it gets the most dust. It should be something that gets opened daily. And it says, thy word is a light unto my feet and a light unto my path. You want to know where you're going? Look at your feet. Is there light on them? Light from the Bible, light from the Word of God, then you know where you're going. A light unto your pathway. You have that light of the Word of God in your heart, in your mind, in your soul, in your being. You will know where you're going, and God will light your way for you. This is the direction that we all need. We need the Word of God, the light for our feet, a light for our path. You may not know which way to go. Read your Bible, and you'll be lit, sparked, pushed, dragged, pulled in an encouraging way to do the good works of God. And we'll just close in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we bow to thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for your word. It is eternal, and it always will be accessible to us here on earth and in heaven as believers. In the meantime, we're here to glorify God in our lives and our bodies, our character, to display the good works of Christ in ourselves, and that we know that's your purpose, that we reach out to others and maintain ourselves by your word. So we are truly, truly very blessed as believers to have this light that God has given to us, that you've given to us, our Father. And there's also light for those that don't believe that they should come to the light, they might be saved. So bless and encourage each and every one here, we pray. We thank you again for your love towards us, and that you love us so much, our Father, you sent your Son to die in our place. And we thank you that he took upon himself our sin. He died. He rose again. He walked amongst men. He's now in heaven. He's returning soon, we believe. And we thank you for him. Bless this congregation and all that attend, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.